Hello.
There you are. It's this guy.
Slightly new angle into your space today.
Yeah, I'm going to tilt it back this way a little bit. Showing a little bit too much of my room over there.
Look behind the curtain.
My space. Well, if I went a little bit.
Looks like a little library nook. Looks like a library nook. Like I'm just going to sit down and start reading.
I like that little spot right there. It's nice because I have the little lamp that goes over there and my Savannah, Georgia map over there. Actually, what's cool is this chair is actually my wife's grandparents' old chair. So it's a retro. Like it's an authentic retro.
So what are they
you sit in it, you.
What are they sitting in?
Well, I don't know how to say this. Let's move on. I'm Zach. This is Jason. We are co-hosts of Hustle Machine, and we also are co-owners of a company called Market House. We're both website. We have 20 plus years of website and marketing website development experience between the two of us. And the premise of our show is to go after the toxic mentality and thought process behind hustle culture and redefine what that looks like in our Western culture today. So today we are talking about staying a chapter ahead, and this was not this week's episode. Our episodes drop every single Wednesday. Today's episode is finding meaning. Yes. And then 2 weeks ago, the episode we're going to dive a little bit deeper in today was staying a chapter ahead. Jason introed that show with a referencing the movie Catch Me If You Can. I don't know if anybody has seen that movie, but why don't you set that up for us, Jason?
Yeah, so Catch Me If You Can is a Leonardo DiCaprio and Tom Hanks movie. Yeah, Christopher Walken, bunch of great people in that cast. Anyway, so the story of that follows the real life story of Frank Abagnale Jr., who's played by Leonardo DiCaprio, and he's essentially a con artist. But he's such a good con artist that he excels in all the different things that he does, evades capture for years and years and years. Eventually is caught, and now he's a consultant. he works with police services and the government, and he's written books and stuff like that. But during his lifetime, he did tons. I mean, he passed the bar exam. He became a lawyer for a short term. He posed as a deadhead pilot on like Pan Am flights, I think, like that. And so he got free flights like all over the world. And then for a year, leading into what we're talking about today, for a year, he was a professor at BYU in the sociology department. And so he taught sociology at a college level for a year. And he has no background in sociology, and like none whatsoever, no qualifications to be able to teach this class. And in his memoirs, he was interviewed about that period in his life specifically. And someone asked him, like, how did you do that? And he says, well, I stayed a chapter ahead, meaning that whatever they were doing in class, he just read ahead to the next chapter to make sure that he was qualified to be able to answer those questions. It was fresh on his mind, and he had read, you know, the reasoning and the results. It's almost like he was looking at the answers in the back of the book and ahead of time to make sure that he could answer their questions. So, which, you know, not that we need to glean life lessons from con artists, but I mean, I think it's a really good point. And when I read that a few weeks ago before we did that show, it really stuck with me, and I was like, man, what can we take away from that to be successful in business, to be successful in life? And that's simply just stay a chapter ahead in all things. Stay a chapter ahead, right?
Yeah, well, we talk about, you've mentioned a couple of times about how people like fake it till you make it. And I think you said to one person once before was Joy says it's actually a really good movie. Yeah, it is. It actually is. It's one of my, at one point it was my wife's favorite movie, but I don't know if it still is or not. You said, fake it till you make it is a phrase for a reason. And we reference in the episode that, it's almost like as you're growing up, you feel like there's this moment that's going to happen where a light bulb goes off and you have an epiphany and everything clicks and you know how to balance a checkbook. You know how to go get a bank loan, you know, like all this stuff that just seems like adults just have it figured out and know how to do it. You feel like, okay, is it when I'm 18? No, it's not when I'm 18. It reminds me, do you remember, well, you probably don't. Chris will probably know what I'm talking about. There's a scene in Step Brothers where he's sitting on the couch and he's talking to his therapist and he's wrestling with this idea. He's like a 40-year-old who doesn't know how to actually be a grown up. And he's like, I don't like, what do I carry my high school diploma with me everywhere I go? What do I do when it rains? Like he starts going off these really stupid things. Like obviously you should know the answers to that. You don't need to be in a grown up to know that you don't need to take your high school diploma with you everywhere.
Validation.
I was trying to find a clip of it on YouTube so I could play it. Cause it's really funny, but I couldn't find an actual clip. I just saw like 2 second clips of like one saying at a time. Like that's you're right. Chris. There's like, you feel like there's this moment, and I feel like even as entrepreneurs, as business owners, as creatives, that you go through this moment as well. Mm-hmm. And so one of the things we, like to say is just not to coin the phrase of, marry one, not marry me. I read it and I knew what you meant in my mind. I knew exactly what you meant, but anyways, not to coin the phrase from, Nike or anything like that, but it's just get out there and do it. Just start going. And as you get into things, you start to learn what your more of what your craft is, what your trade is, how to do things that you don't know. And I reference Ken Coleman's book, The Proximity Principle, and getting around people who do know how to do those things or are where you want to go. And once you surround yourself with those people, it starts to stick to you. And that's kind of the idea of the show, and staying a chapter ahead is essentially similar to what you're talking about. It's okay. You don't know how to do it. Just go ahead and get into it. And then as you're going, you're going to be flipping ahead, and there's going to be a moment that clicks where you feel like you're ahead of everybody else.
You know, there's
in reality, you don't know what you're doing.
Yeah. So we mentioned it on the show, and we actually just had a conversation with a potential partner this morning. And we mentioned it to her as well, because she's new in the space, and trying to validate her and get her pumped up. And one of the things we talked about on the show is like, if you can get 50% there with your current skill set, with your current knowledge, if you can get 50% of the way towards knowing how to do something, towards whatever job you're trying to win, to whatever career you're trying to pursue, if you can get 50% there with the current skill set that you have right now, just jump in and say yes to the opportunity, or you know, try and put a proposal together for that opportunity. Because you never know what's going to happen along the way. You might not get it, but you are opening yourself up to potential relationships that you might not have had you not pursued that. And if you do get the job and you win the bid, then you got some learning to do. And if you feel like you can do that, like if you feel like, man, if I get this job with my current skill set that I have, I could research, I could learn best practices, I could learn how to do this on the go, and I could stay a chapter ahead referencing back to the whole core of what we're talking about today, I could stay a chapter ahead and I could get it done. I could stay a chapter ahead of my client, right? Like I could figure out how to do this. And what is it? You mentioned that you were looking at a job and somebody was like,
no, oh, do you? I took a job. Like, so there was when I was freelancing, I had a client sit down with me and I was meeting with them for the first time. And they said, you know, we want this video to have some motion to it. And I was like, oh yeah, like camera movements. Yeah, no problem. They're like, no. Like we want some like motion to it, like motion graphics. Or I don't know if they use the term motion graphics or not, but they were just like, I want things to be kind of swooping in, you know? And I was like,
yeah.
Okay. And then I was like, well, you know, they said, is that something you could do? I was like, absolutely. I can do that. Not a problem. Thankfully they didn't ask for any samples of what I could do because then I don't know what I was going to do. But then I was like, so show me kind of what you're looking to do, like what you want it to be. Cause I'm in my mind going, okay, I now have to understand what they're talking about.
You tell me what you think it is that you want. And then you show me that. And then I'll give you what you think it is that it should be.
So they started showing me things and I was like, in my mind, I was like, out loud, I'm saying, yeah, not a problem. Internally, I'm going, I have no idea how to do that. And but, I know how to create a graphic.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I know how to do video. And I know some of the program that they're probably using for that.
Yeah.
And so I said, yes, I got the bid. I probably underpriced it dramatically because I had no idea what I was doing, even in that area. And when I sat down to start working on it, I had this panic moment of, I don't even know where to begin. I guess I should start Googling graphics that move. And then that's
how motion graphics work. And
yeah. And then After Effects was the thing that was that and Cinema 4D. I didn't really learn Cinema 4D as much, but long story short, I learned After Effects. I taught myself how to use it. I got the project done. I was able to put that in my portfolio and then I was able to land stuff for churches that needed some motion graphic movements. And I did some pretty cool stuff over time working in that space because I said yes to being able to do that. And now, I mean, we created our logo. You can't see it now, but it's the cogs moving. I was able to do stuff like that. And those sorts of things became reality because I said yes. And I think you had a similar story with social media, like, working for a resort.
Yeah. So when I was, when I got out of college, I didn't know what I was going to do. I didn't know where I was going to work. I had no idea. I don't know why. I did very well in college, but I had no concept of what I was going to do after, like no plan, right. Nothing. When I got out, my mom was like, okay, what's the plan? And I was like, I don't know. Beats me. She goes, well, I need some help with the restaurant. My family owns a restaurant. So she goes, I need some help with the restaurant. And I was like, okay. And then I proceeded to do that for like 5 years. And while my wife was in graduate school, it just all worked out really well. And it taught me a lot of skills that it takes to get going. And I freelanced at the same time. So it was best opportunity that I had. And it worked out.
Right.
And so when it was time to be done with that and move on, my wife's out of grad school and I was like, okay, I'm going to go get a job actually in the workforce that I want. And so I was looking at positions and I was like, oh, this position looks pretty cool. It was website content and social media manager. And I was like, I'll crush that website content. And I was like, what's this social media stuff? And like, you know, this is a long time ago. This is like advertising.
I got a Facebook and a Twitter.
Yeah.
So I can.
Yeah. So it was like Facebook ads hadn't been spun up yet. They were still like doing beta testing and like you could still beta test for free. So like it was cool. Anyway. So I had a Twitter account and I actually posted on my Twitter at the time, but I didn't do anything with Facebook. I had one, but I didn't do anything with it. And I was like, oh, I got the website stuff and I know Twitter. I was like, how much harder could it be? And I was like, I get more than 50% of there. I was like, okay, cool, let's go. Then I interviewed for the position, rocked it out. They came, they brought me back, did like a couple more. I did like two more interviews and they were like, okay, here you go. Boom. This is your position. Help us grow. And I was like, dang, I was like, Google, how to manage Facebook page. I was like, how to get admin access to Facebook page. Like I was like looking up everything. And so I made myself into an expert eventually took that Facebook account from 7,000 fans to about 120,000 fans over the course of a couple of years. And I wrote white papers on it. It's one of the core things that I know how to do now. And I made all kinds of relationships from that career. It was like a springboard to everything that I do now. And if I had not taken the chance and gone for that opportunity, I don't know where I would be now. Like I have no idea where I would have ended up because I could have easily just tried to go into something a little bit more comfortable, a little bit more familiar, and ended up somewhere completely different. And all because I said yes to the opportunity and then I stayed a chapter ahead the whole time. I tell you what, for the first year or so, Google was my best friend. People would come by and ask me something. I'm like, you know what? That's a great question. That's a great question. Let me write that up and I'll send it back to you. And I was like, like all over the place, like try to do research. And, you know, in that time I learned to just always try and stay a step ahead, say yes to the opportunity and then stay ahead. Because if you trust in yourself and you know that you can, like, you can actually build on the skill set that you have and you're good at building like that, then do it. Like, just absolutely do it.
Yeah. We also mentioned in the conversation on the episode of somebody in business saying, well, I'm not a business person. And I think a lot of people get stuck in this mindset that as an entrepreneur, you have to have everything in a row and you got to know all of these things before you can step into that role. And
right.
I think especially, and me and you might talk about this all the time, of how so many times, or not in this day and age, there's so many people who are starting businesses.
Yeah.
And we're in this creative revolution, I guess I could call it, you know, like we had the Industrial Revolution and now it's like we got the creative revolution is happening. And because of the internet and because of the pandemic, I think a lot of people opened their eyes to opportunities that they could take off in. And for sure. I think we see a lot of entrepreneurs now who are scratching their head saying, I'm not sure I'm cut out for this. I don't know. I feel like these other people who are doing it just seem like everything just clicks and it just, they just know how to make the right moves. Yeah. And again, it's because they've learned over time. And if you were to ask any business owner at any level, I think to some degree they're still going, I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah.
There are some things that they have learned on the way that you don't know that they've learned, but behind the scenes, there's still things that they still don't know that they're still having to learn. And that's kind of the thing is, like, you're going to continue to always learn and always learn. If you're holding back on pursuing something because you're waiting for the right things to fall in place, you're going to be waiting forever.
Yeah.
Because then once you get those things figured out, you're going to say, well, and now I don't know how to do that. So I need to learn that first before I can get into that. And I just see so many people who give up on their dreams or give up on what they could be doing because they feel like they don't know they don't know everything to get started.
Yeah.
And yeah, if you just jumped into it, and that's how we started, you know, that's exactly how we started this business. We had zero clue what we were doing.
Yeah. You know, it's, I think with new ventures, yeah, it's really tricky because you worry that like, man, I don't know everything. I don't know if this is the right path to take. And if you want to learn anything from us, it's for so long, we just read along. We were just reading along with the book. We never really did get a chapter ahead until we decided to jump into this business. And we started going, okay, well, how do we get ahead? We were always just kind of going with the flow, waiting for life to happen to us, waiting to react to all the changes. And it wasn't until we started to be more proactive in our approach to the business that we were able to jump into the next, business. And, you know, it's like, if you start your own business, yeah, you're being proactive. You're making steps to financial security potentially, and to working in a field of your own happiness and doing all these things. But until you take some chances and start doing the scary things and making jumps that you are not completely sure of, until you start doing things like that, you're not really going to see the changes you want. Because like, you can make all of the smart, informed decisions that you want and your business should be fine. But you really start seeing change and like the exciting stuff when you take a chance, when you think, oh, I can get 50% of the way there. And then I can just stay ahead of the game. I can stay ahead of my customers. I can stay ahead of the competition. I'm just going to keep reading ahead in life's playbook. And it's when you start to look ahead and that you really can start making exciting movements.
Yeah. And it's kind of what you hear this phrase of, I think I saw a shirt the other day that said something like, getting comfortable is the death of you or something like that. Like, always putting yourself into uncomfortable situations because it stretches you, keeps you learning, keeps you growing. And to your point, I mean, as a business owner, as an entrepreneur, as a creative, really anybody, getting into something that makes you feel uncomfortable is going to, in the long term, going to make you a better person.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it could. I think there's some things that may. So maybe that's a stretch.
I think it gives you opportunities for growth that you would not normally have if you didn't put yourself in those positions.
Sure. And I think that's kind of what I'm getting at, is getting out into the uncomfortable is a scary thing.
Yeah.
But we always say, what's the worst that could happen? Worst that could happen? You could get into it and you go, this is awful. I hate this. Okay, then stop doing it. Or you could get into it and say, this isn't as bad as I thought it was. Kind of like when you jump in the pool at the beginning of the season of the weather starting to turn nice. And you're like, oh, it's hot outside. I feel really hot. The water feels a little cold. My philosophy is just go, just jump right in. Get the, like, ripping the Band-Aid off, getting it over with. You get in it and you're like, oh, this is really cold. I don't like this. And then like a couple minutes later, you're like, this feels great. This feels amazing. It's not cold at all. I feel great. This is awesome. I'm glad I just jumped right in. It's kind of like that with things. Like, it's going to suck at first. But in the long run, you have the higher potential. Sorry, my son's going crazy. You have the higher potential of it being successful and stretching you and growing you.
Right. I agree. I think that if we could add anything else, it would be to, you know, when you're dealing with client relationships, when you're dealing with customers, and say you are a freelancer, side hustler, just work in a position where you deal with customers, I think that you can use this principle to stay ahead of your clients by being proactive in your approach to customer communication. Being the first to initiate contact, making sure you do follow-ups, making sure you do check-ins. Even if you don't have the answers, even if you don't have an update really to give, be the one to initiate contact, and you will always be on the good side of the ledger in your customer's mind. That's another thing that Zach and I started to figure out years ago. We were like, man, like, we're not done with this project. Like, I got, like, what am I supposed to do? Like, I can't, like, this customer needs it soon, but we don't have an answer for them yet on blah, blah, blah. And we always treat it as like a fail if the customer contacts us first. Like, if the customer contacts you looking for an update or looking for an answer to something, it's not a win if they're the one reaching out to you first. If it's something that you could have prevented by being open in your communication and making sure that you're following up with. So, yeah. So make sure that if you're somebody who deals with clients, that staying a chapter ahead can really treat you well, and elevate your level of customer service and help you to eventually actually grow your business. What is this? Lauren says, love these lives, great content without being
some of the other lives I see on YouTube. Okay. Trying to sell.
Yeah. Thanks for being genuine. Yeah, for sure. Yeah, that's the whole goal of what we're trying to do. Is we're just trying to build community. We're trying to, you know, build like-minded entrepreneurs, hustlers, sellers, freelancers, people who are just trying to grow together. Because if you're alone and you're trying to build community and trying to grow your business, it's too hard. It's too hard to be alone. And too many people are afraid to ask questions, afraid to ask for help. And so we're trying to build a community of kindness and mutual respect. And because that's what we're about. You know, we're not about the dog eat dog kind of philosophy. So, but yeah, thanks. Well, thanks, Lauren. We appreciate it.
Yeah, Lauren. And you know, that's one thing Jason and I try to strive to do with our show and with these lives is to be genuine and to be real. And we're going to be the first ones to admit that we don't know everything about everything. And we're not saying because we have this platform that we're able to speak on a regular basis, that we know everything. We've been given this opportunity.
Yeah.
And so we want to make sure that we are as genuine as possible. And we just appreciate that comment, Lauren. That's that means a lot. So again, just to reiterate what you just said, Jason, I thought that was what you said was really good. Reaching out to customers and making sure that that's one, like you said, that's one of the big things that we talk about here. And it goes a long way. That's one thing that we do with our own business is, and we tell our employees of, listen, if they reach out to you first, you failed. You know what I mean? Like, it's, we should be on top of it. And a lot of times when you diagnose why you haven't reached out, it's because you're afraid to disappoint or you're afraid of a negative interaction. Because when it's something good to report, it's not a hard thing for you to reach out and contact them. But when it's something negative is usually when you resist and hold back and not want to share. But there's something to be said, and there's this genuineness of saying, listen, I'm reaching out because we're not done with this project, or I'm not sure what to do on this step here. Just being honest, there's more understanding. So on that note, guys, this has been a fun conversation. Go listen to our show on staying a chapter ahead. We would love to get your feedback. Also, we have an opportunity for you to join our community and to hear more about from other entrepreneurs and grow together, to link arms together and do this thing together. So That's it for today. Until next Thursday. Later.
Wednesday.